Good morning to all of you. Thank you very much for being here this morning. Thank you for sharing with me the work that you're doing here, some of which we can see right behind us, because this is a legendary Govan shipyard, and it's really good to be able to be here in this massive space and to be back on the Clyde. And as you may have seen, a couple of months ago, just after dawn on a drizzly morning, if you can believe it, I took a boat out onto the Firth to meet one of our Vanguard's class submarines as it came back here, back off patrol. And it was a record-breaking patrol. We boarded the sub. It had just surfaced. It had been at sea, maintaining our continuous at-sea deterrent for months on end, a really long shift, and met what was quite a remarkable crew. And I'll remember that day for the rest of my life, because it was very clear to me that there is no greater duty than the one that they carry, no task more vital. Our security, NATO's security, depends on them. And I had the privilege of being shown around and talked to many teams on the sub, saw them rushing to their battle stations to conduct a firing drill. And wherever I went on the sub, whichever team I was talking to, from the engineers, the cooks, the navigators, over and over again, there was a sort of unofficial motto that they told me, their motto: nothing works unless we all work together. And in this moment of danger and threat for our country, that is the spirit that we need. The strategic defence review that I'm launching today will bring that unity of purpose to the whole of the United Kingdom, to mobilise the nation in a common cause, recognising in these dangerous times that when it comes to defence of the realm and the defence of everything that we hold dear, nothing works unless we all work together. From every man and woman serving in uniform, to the workers building the next generation of subs in Barrow, from the brilliant workers and apprentices right here in Govan, building the new Type 26 frigates, like the two that you can see being built right behind me, to our tech experts, our scientists, our engineers, who are pioneering battlefield innovations and cyber defences. Every part of society, every citizen of this country, has a role to play. Because we have to recognise that things have changed. In the world of today, the front line, if you like, is here. The threat we now face is more serious, more immediate, and more unpredictable than at any time since the Cold War. We face war in Europe, new nuclear risks, daily cyber attacks, growing Russian aggression in our waters, menacing our skies, their reckless actions driving up the cost of living here at home, creating economic pain and hitting working people the hardest. A new era in the threats that we face demands a new era for defence and security, not just to survive in this new world, but to lead. We will never gamble with our national security. Instead, we will act in the national interest. And that's why I place national security at the heart of our plan for change. That's why I launched this strategic defence review within days of becoming Prime Minister. And now it has delivered. And I want to thank the reviewers, especially Lord Robertson, who is with us today. Thank you so much for your work and the work of the other reviewers. What you've delivered is a blueprint to make Britain safer and stronger. A battle-ready, armour-clad nation with the strongest alliances and the most advanced capabilities equipped for the decades to come. And we have already acted, announcing the largest sustained increase in defence spending since the end of the Cold War, raising it to 2.5% of GDP by 2027, setting the ambition to hit 3% in the next Parliament, subject to economic and fiscal conditions. And today, following through on this review, I want to set out three fundamental changes that we're going to deliver. First, we are moving to warfighting readiness as the central purpose of our armed forces. When we are being directly threatened by states with advanced military forces, the most effective way to deter them is to be ready. And frankly, to show them that we're ready, to deliver peace through strength. Now, Britain has the finest servicemen and women in the world. We're showing them the respect that they deserve by delivering the biggest armed forces pay rise in 20 years and by pledging today that we will end the hollowing out of our armed forces. We'll build a fighting force that is more integrated, more ready, more lethal than ever, backed by a stronger strategic reserve, fully trained and ready to mobilise at any time. Second, everything we do will add to the strength of NATO. As we step up to take greater responsibility for our collective defence, the NATO alliance means something profound. That we will never fight alone. It is a fundamental source of our strategic strength. That's why our defence policy will always be NATO first, something that's written through this review. The transformation we are driving in our defence must add up to Britain's biggest contribution to NATO since its creation, so that when we're building new capabilities at home, we are making our allies safer too, strengthening Europe and strengthening our bridge to the US as Britain's first partner in defence. Third, we will innovate and accelerate innovation at a wartime pace so we can meet the threats of today and of tomorrow as the fastest innovator in NATO. Now, this doesn't mean replacing people or hardware. Quite the opposite. It means learning the lessons of Ukraine, which I've discussed many times with President Zelensky, to ensure that every capability we have works seamlessly together. Drones, destroyers, AI, aircraft, each different branch of our armed services fully integrated to create an army which is 10 times more lethal by 2035. And in delivering all of this, we are more ambitious than ever for the change it can bring. To deliver not just security for our country, but renewal too. After the Cold War, many nations cut defence spending, freeing up public funds, creating what was called a peace dividend, which people felt in their public services and in the quality of their lives. Faced with new circumstances today, we must deliver for working people again, to seize now a defence dividend for the British people, using this moment to drive jobs and investment throughout the country, like here in Govan, providing local opportunities, skilled work, community pride, ensuring that everyone across the United Kingdom has a role to play in this effort, yes, but also that everyone has a stake in its success. And I want to spell this out very simply. To achieve this, we're going to build, we're going to use this investment and this once-in-a-generation reform to drive renewal up and down the nation, creating new jobs, creating skills and opportunity, driving huge growth in industrial capacity. Let me give just one or two examples. I can announce today that we're going to build at least 6 new munitions factories in the United Kingdom, generating over 1,000 jobs. We will build thousands of new long-range weapons in the United Kingdom to boost European deterrence, supporting around 800 more jobs. We will defend our homeland by investing in our air and missile defence to better protect these islands. We will create a hybrid Royal Navy blending drones with warships, submarines and aircraft to patrol the North Atlantic and beyond, supporting thousands of brilliant shipbuilding jobs, including right here in Govan. Under our AUKUS alliance with the US and Australia, we will now deliver up to 12 attack submarines protecting Britain's waters, scaling up the industrial base in Barrow and all along the supply chain to deliver a new sub every 18 months, again creating thousands of jobs. We will also invest in world-leading drone capabilities and battlefield technology, in better kit for our warriors abroad, and better housing for them and their families at home. And finally, I can confirm today that we are investing £15 billion in our sovereign warhead programme to secure our deterrent for decades to come, creating 9,000 jobs and thousands more in supply chains across the country, part of the historic renewal of our nuclear deterrent as the ultimate guarantor of our safety and our security. The moment has arrived to transform how we defend ourselves and to renew our nation, an investment in British pride and the British people, a defence dividend that will be felt in the pockets of working people and the prosperity of the country, securing growth for generations to come, part of a new contract to unite the kingdom, a new spirit of service flowing from every part of society, from the supply lines to the front lines, everyone benefiting, everyone playing their role, doing their duty to the nation and to each other, to preserve our way of life and the things that we hold dear. Because when it comes to security and renewal, nothing works unless we all work together. Thank you very much indeed. Thank you. I'm now going to take some questions from the media, and then I'll have the opportunity, I hope, to speak to some of you. Chris Mason from the BBC first, please. Chris.
Thank you, Prime Minister. Chris Mason, BBC News. Prime Minister, you're sounding a bit shaky on the funding of all of this into the next decade. Can you unequivocally say today that this will definitely be delivered? Look into people's eyes and say, yes, this will be delivered.
Yes, I can, and I'll tell you for why. Because when we set the terms of reference for this review, we set it on the premise that we would be spending 2.5% of GDP on our defence. Obviously, since then, what we've done is then put the date on that, 2027, 2028, the highest sustained increase in defence spending since the Cold War, a date I think that was earlier than some people thought it would be, but also set out that ambition to hit 3% in the next Parliament. So I'm 100% confident that this can be delivered, because that was baked in from the very start of the review. It's one of the first conversations we had with the reviewers, because what I wanted was to meet the new threats, the new instability, with a plan that matched our capability with the risk that we face as a nation. That was the purpose of the review. I'm very pleased and grateful to the reviewers that that's what's been delivered today. Thank you very much. Beth Rigby from Sky.
Thank you, Beth Rigby, Sky News. Prime Minister, Attlee was the Labour PM credited with creating the welfare state. You're the Labour PM that wants to create or be known for creating a warfare state, but you're not putting your money where your mouth is. NATO says members should commit 3.5% of GDP to defence spending by 2032, and you are not even committing 3% in the next Parliament, an ambition, but you are not committing it. To govern is to choose. What is your choice? Is it properly funding defence, or is it cutting, reversing winter fuel cuts, or is it lifting the two-child benefit cap? What's the choice? And if I may, on Gaza, I asked you a couple of weeks ago whether you thought you were doing enough. You said the situation was intolerable. The situation continues. Is there any concrete action you now think the UK needs to take?
Thank you. Beth, let's start with Attlee, because he led a proud Labour government that was one of the founding members of NATO. And NATO, in the intervening 80 years, has been the most successful alliance in the world in terms of preserving peace. And so Attlee was at the very start of that. That's one of the proudest things in our Labour history. So I stand here in that tradition, conscious that my job is not to reflect on the 80 years that NATO has kept the peace, but to make sure that NATO also keeps the peace for decades to come. And that is my responsibility, just as it was Attlee's responsibility in the first place to have a government that was far-sighted enough to create NATO in the first place. Our commitment to NATO is huge in terms of the contribution we already make. As you know, we commit our nuclear capability to NATO for all of our allies and other capability. And we will have the heart of this review a NATO-first approach. Of course, there are discussions about what the contribution should be going into the NATO conference in 2 or 3 weeks' time. But that conference is much more about what sort of NATO will be capable of being as effective in the future as it's been in the last 80 years. And that's a vital conversation that we do need to have, and we're right at the heart of that. In relation to Gaza, look, the situation is intolerable in Gaza and getting worse by the day, which is why we are working with allies to be clear in saying it's intolerable, to be absolutely clear that there needs to be a ceasefire, to be absolutely clear that humanitarian aid needs to get in at speed and at volumes that it is not getting in at the moment. It's causing absolute devastation. And, of course, to continue our work to secure the release of hostages who've been held for a very, very long time. We're working closely with allies on that. We'll continue to do so. Thank you very much, Beth. Can I go to Carl at ITV? Carl.
Thank you, Prime Minister. The authors of this review say you've got to spend 3% of GDP on defence to be able to afford what's in it. Are you committed to spending what you need to deliver everything that's in this review, or is it just an ambition?
No, we are committed to spending what we need to deliver this review. That's the basis on which the terms of reference were set, and that's the terms on which the review was published. And everything that can be done will be done within the spending envelope that we have. On the question of 2.5%, when we won the general election in 2024 last year, we said we'd do 2.5% within this parliament. As the circumstances dictated, we then brought that forward to 2027. So you can see the way I work, which is being clarity about what we want to achieve, putting in the date when we know exactly how we can achieve it, the same with the 3%. That is what we want to achieve because of the different world that we live in, but I'm not going to put arbitrary dates on that percentage. We will do that, as we did with 2.5, in a work-through way to deliver the capability that we need under this review. Thank you very much, Carl. Catherine from GB News.
Catherine Forster, GB News. There are warnings from Germany that Russia could invade a NATO ally as soon as in the next 4 years. You haven't even committed to get to 3% in the next 9 years. Lord Richard Dannett this morning said that this is simply not going to cut the mustard. One of your favourite phrases, going further and faster. Shouldn't you be going further and faster on this now? And link to that, part of keeping British people safe is border security. You scrapped the Rwanda deterrent. You promised to smash the gangs who are clearly running rings around us. Crossings are up 42% this year compared to last. Aren't you failing to keep us safe in the English Channel?
Well, let's start with the question of Ukraine, because I think it's fair to say that the UK has been a steadfast ally of Ukraine since the very beginning of this conflict and continues to play a central part. And I'm very proud of the support that we give to Ukraine, and very alert to the continued threat from Russia, whether that's continuing in Ukraine or the wider threat. And as I mentioned in my speech, don't forget that Russia is already menacing our skies and our waters and cyber attacks. So this is a real threat that we are dealing with. I believe that the best way to deter conflict is to prepare for it, which is why we commissioned this report, this review, and why we will now act on this review. Going further and faster in what we're doing, which we have already done with pushing up defence spend to 2.5% by 2027. That wasn't in the manifesto of any of the parties going into the election, by the way. That is a commitment we've made since we've been in government, we will keep to, and that is the mindset, but also a mindset change, that this must produce the defence dividend in the jobs and the opportunities here in the United Kingdom as we spend more money. In relation to border security, I want to be really clear, nobody should be making that journey across the Channel, and it's our duty to make sure that we ensure that they don't. We are working very closely with our counterparts in France and elsewhere to take further action in northern France. And of course, we are giving enhanced powers to our own law enforcement through the Borders Bill, which is currently going through Parliament. The reason we stood down the Rwanda scheme was because it cost a fortune and only a handful of people went on a voluntary basis to Rwanda, and it didn't deter anybody. I'm not up for gimmicks. I'm up for the hard work of working with partners, enhancing the powers that law enforcement have, in my determination to take down the gangs that are running this vile trade. Thank you so much. Adam from the iPaper. Adam.
Thanks. Prime Minister, what's your message to voters who may be worried this extra defence spending will mean less money for their priorities, the NHS, public services? And will it mean further cuts to welfare in the years ahead?
Let me take that in three stages. The first is to remind us all that conflict in Europe has a massive direct impact here in the United Kingdom. And therefore, if you take the conflict in Ukraine, it is obvious it's had an impact on prices, on the cost of living in this country. So there is no argument that somehow avoiding talking about conflict will help our economy here. It won't. It will make it worse. Secondly, it is really important that as we spend more on defence, as we must in this new era, there is the defence dividend back here in jobs, secure jobs here across Scotland, 25,000 jobs across Scotland, over 400,000 jobs across the whole of the United Kingdom in defence and security. These are good, well-paid jobs. And, of course, the supply chains that feed into those jobs. And I am reminded, as you put the sort of choices to me, the first duty of the Prime Minister is to keep our country safe. And that is a duty that I take extremely seriously. And there's a huge cost of not keeping your country safe and security. And that's a cost I'm not prepared to inflict on people of this country. Thank you so much. And then I've got Kieran from The Guardian. Kieran.
Thank you. Kieran Stacey from The Guardian. And just to follow up on Adam's question, you say you can't say yet how you will fund the 3% ambition in the next Parliament. Can you at least rule out going back to the aid budget for that extra cash?
Well, look, on the aid budget, it was a difficult decision that we had to take in order to get to 2.5%. I'm absolutely clear that in the meantime, we have to ensure that we do other work on aid, working with other countries, other institutions to pull levers to trigger the money that we need for aid. But the best way to pay for increase in any public spending is to grow our economy, and that is the focus when it comes to defence or any other spending, wealth creation. And that's why I'm pleased that because of the decisions that we took at the budget, which were tough but were right, we have been able to stabilise the economy. We've now got growth, the last figures at 0.7%, higher than most people thought. 4 interest rate cuts in a row, wages going up faster than prices. And of course, we've built the stability and the confidence to deliver 3 trade deals with India, the US and the EU, which other governments talked about, but we delivered, which will again have their own dividend. So here in Scotland, for example, when it comes to whisky, the deal that we've done with India is hugely important. And so that is the way in which we will proceed. Thank you, Kieran. Now I'm going to Scotland. I think I'm starting with Lindsay. from BBC Scotland. Lindsay.
Thank you, Prime Minister. You want to spend billions more on defence, including 15 billion more on nuclear weapons. But not very far from here in Hamilton, your party is fighting a by-election. Voters there are telling us they're angry at your government over cuts to winter fuel, over welfare cuts. They're very anxious about the cost of living. Isn't it the case that your priorities don't match those of the public? And secondly, just if I may, you mentioned the defence dividend and a further 25,000 jobs for Scotland. Can you outline when those jobs will actually be delivered?
Well, let me deal with your central challenge, because I think that security and safety of everyone in Scotland is paramount. Is absolutely paramount. And I can't imagine anybody who seriously wants to be Prime Minister of this country coming to Scotland and saying that the first priority is not the safety and security of Scotland. Just consider the consequences of somebody as Prime Minister saying that. And remind ourselves that at this time of renewed threat and instability across Europe, the SNP's position is to get rid of our nuclear deterrent, the single most important part of our capability that has kept Scotland and the United Kingdom safe for many, many years. And at this moment, they renew their pledge to get rid of our nuclear deterrent. Imagine the effect that would have on the safety and security of the United Kingdom and of Scotland. And then go to reform. Who want to spend tens of billions of pounds but won't say where the money's coming from. Completely unfunded, uncosted. That is what Liz trusted. That's what blew up the economy. That's what led to the infliction of harm on working people in Scotland, whether it's their mortgage, their prices. I'm not prepared ever to let that be inflicted on Scotland ever again. And that's why I'm absolutely clear in my priorities, which is the safety and security of everybody in Scotland and making sure that we never have the prospect in Scotland again of a Westminster government that blows up their finances. Thank you very much. I've got Paris from STV.
Prime Minister, if you're so confident of the case you just made, why aren't you going to Hamilton to make that case directly to those voters? Is it because you're afraid that you'll lose to parties that, as you say, don't support nuclear weapons?
Well, my firm belief is only Labour can beat the SNP in Hamilton. My firm belief is that my job as Prime Minister is to deliver for the whole of Scotland, including Hamilton and everybody involved in that by-election. And that is what we have been doing every day of this Labour government, whether it's the biggest settlement for Scotland under the budget since devolution, a huge settlement, whether it's the increase in wages in Scotland or the delivery of more jobs in defence and security. And I'm sorry, I didn't do the second half of the question, so I'll try and tie it together, because Scotland has a proud tradition and incredible skilled workforce when it comes to jobs in security and defence. I want to make sure that those jobs are maintained, thrived, and there's more jobs to come, which will happen under the work that we're doing under this review and the increase in defence spending. Scotland contributes hugely to our defence industry. We're very grateful to be working with Scotland and Scottish working people, including everybody here, in what they contribute. And I want to see more of that, because that is good for the defence and security of Scotland and the United Kingdom. It is good for working people who will have good, well-paid jobs that will then help them and their families and their communities. Thank you very much. And then I think I've got Connor next from the Scottish Sun. Connor.
Hi, Connor Matchett from the Scottish Sun. Thanks, Prime Minister. As mentioned, Nigel Farage is in Scotland today as well and on the campaign trail for the Hamilton by-election. as is John Swinney. If Labour lose to both the SNP and Reform on Thursday, which is what bookmakers think will happen, that's less than a year from the Scottish Parliament elections. And doesn't it mean that that's the beginning of the end for Scottish Labour, Anas Sawa, and you? And if I can go back to defence briefly as well, can I ask whether you fear Russia could really cause an internet blackout and power outages in the UK by targeting underwater cables and bring the country to a standstill? And are you doing enough to stop that?
Only Labour can beat the SNP, and we need to be really clear as we go into the final stages of the campaign in relation to that. And we're very clear in our campaign on that. In relation to Russia, look, the threats from Russia take different forms, and we are prepared, and we have to be prepared for all of them. You've seen the threats to our air and to our water, to cyber, and of course the threats that we see to cabling in different parts of the world, but threats are absolutely clear, and we're working, as you would expect, with allies to ensure that we can protect all of our infrastructure and all of our capabilities. Thank you very much. And I've got Justin, I think, from the Courier, Press and Journal.
Thanks, Prime Minister. Can I ask how today's announcement will benefit workers in Rosyth and the wider Fife area? And can I also ask how this review will help tackle Russian aggression in the far north?
In terms of the jobs, obviously there is the capability that we're currently engaged on. Now that will ramp up with the increase in spending and the recommendations of the review that we will take further. I want that to be, and I'm determined that it will be, measured in good, well-paid jobs in Fife and across Scotland, actually, because never forget the supply chains that are feeding in to the major defence and security sectors, which are vitally important. In relation to... was it Russian aggression, the second part? Yeah. Look, we need to be clear. When we say we're entering a new era, the level of threat and the instability is of a different order than all of us have experienced for quite some time now. And that is why I asked for this review to be done, which is I need an assessment of the threats that we face as they are now and as we think they're going to be over the next 5 or 10 years, and our current capability to ensure that our capability meets the threats that we face. And that's what I'm very pleased that this review has delivered today. Our job now is to take that on and to deliver it alongside our long-standing commitment to our NATO allies. Thank you all very much indeed. Thank you all for listening to me. Thank you for giving up your time. But most importantly, thank you for the work that you are doing here, because as I've said to many, including those on the subs, on the frigates, etc., they can't do what they do if it wasn't for what you're doing here. All the skill that you put in here, which is incredible professionalism, is vital, because they need to know that they've got the best kit, the best equipment, and they need to know, as you know, that you're standing behind them on the front line. So thank you from me for that. Thank you, because they would want me to say thank you, for all those on the front line who know that you're standing with them. It means a huge amount to them. And I've seen for myself just how important it is. This is high-skilled, really important professional work, but it is also the defence and security of our people. And I just want to say thank you to all of you for the part that you play in that. I'm very proud of what you do, and I think you should be proud of what you do too. Thank you very much. Thank you.